We're going to be in Matthew 5, 6. If you want to turn to your Bibles as we're doing the Sermon on the Mount, especially right now, the Beatitudes. I read recently that C.S. Lewis once said, now C.S. Lewis used to be an unbeliever, and he studied his way into faith. But he said this at some point, you don't have a soul. And I thought, whoa, C.S. Lewis said that? You don't have a soul. Well, truth is, he actually had more to say. And what he said as a believer was, you don't have a soul, you are a soul and have a body. And I thought, amen, that's really the way to look at it. We are predominantly a soul. This old body will be done away with upon death or upon the return of Jesus Christ. It will be changed into an immortal, glorious body, and our soul will dwell within that. And so to say we don't have a soul is true. We actually are a soul, and we have a body. And that really kind of fits with our beatitude here in Matthew 5 and verse 6. Blessed are those, or another translation says, God blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I'm not sure this is the peak of the eight. It's not quite at the peak, but it's close enough. It's the fourth one we've studied so far. I'm sorry, it's the third one we've studied so far, the fourth sermon on this. And so it's a little too early to be a peak. These aren't actually steps in that you do one and then you do another and then another and they each get higher and higher. They're sort of all together. Someone called them keys. Of course, the right thing to say is, well, they're just beatitudes. And all of them are the attitudes we ought to have, the direction we ought to be in all of this. So what I think I believe our message is saying for us today, our text, is that happiness and fulfillment come when we want to be righteous, when we hunger and thirst after righteousness. We are satisfied with that. That's what he says, you will be filled. And so righteousness is something that we ought to hunger and thirst for. But what is righteousness? You know, what are we talking about here? And of course, you could just say, well, simply be right with God. That would be a right thing to say. But the Bible uses righteousness in multiple ways, applies it. God is righteous. The Holy Spirit is righteous. Jesus is righteous. The Bible is righteous. Eternal life in heaven is righteous. Righteousness is used so many times in the Bible that you can't fail to find it as you read along in different parts of the Bible. Righteousness is what God makes us. And so really the Bible is uses it in two ways in applying to us. Here he's saying we should hunger and thirst for righteousness. What is righteousness? Well, first of all, it's just simply being right with God. Scripture talks about that. We've studied Romans and Romans 1:17, where Paul said in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Do you remember that study? It wasn't that far back. But God's righteousness is revealed, but also what the book of Romans begins to develop is that through the sacrifice of God's Son and our faith in Him, God makes us, He imputes righteousness to us. And so that's one way in which we get righteousness. Philippians 3:9, Paul writes about not having a righteousness of my own, but that which comes by faith. And so you don't make yourself righteous, the text here would be telling us. God makes you righteousness. But that's only the first side of it. That is the absolute side. God, through Jesus Christ, in our obedience to the gospel, instantly makes us righteous. You remember that study? We talked about that. We have that righteousness. It's been given to us. And so we are made righteous by God. We don't make ourselves righteous. In fact, that would be the message of the book of Romans. We don't work our way through. We don't just simply obey laws better than somebody else and therefore become more righteous and then please God. None of us will please God, the scripture teaches. So hungering and thirsting after righteousness, what does Jesus mean here? Well, perhaps that, surely for someone who's not a Christian, because as he preached to this audience, sure, there are many out there who were not believers in Jesus as the Messiah. And so they had to come to that conclusion and in obedience to be made righteous by God. And so that's important. But I think Jesus is talking to the second definition of righteousness, which would be living right before God. So the first one is being made righteous by God, but the second one is living right, doing the right things before God. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 20 is a great little text where Solomon writes, I walk in the way of righteousness along the paths of justice. I just love that text. Walking the way of righteousness. That's really what he's talking about here. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness want to walk on the paths that lead them to right living. That's the definition here for us, that it is that. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 29 in the Message, so it gives it to a little bit of a thought for us, a little different some other translations. But it simply says, this is 1 John again, 2:29. All who practice righteousness are born of God. And so hungering and thirsting after righteousness would be wanting to live whatever it is that God says for us to live, however God says for us to live, and we just can't wait to get to that, you know. We want to live that life. How many of us want to be that way? I think we all would raise our hands. We want to please God, but we just want to find the right way and live it and get fulfilled in that and feel the goodness of that righteousness. Psalm 17 and verse 15 says, because I have done what is right, I will see you. When I awake, I will be fully satisfied, for I will see your face. Again, the walking in righteousness is what he's talking about here. And the feeling that comes from it of being satisfied. Many things in life people aren't satisfied with. We might ask the question, well, why do I care about being righteous? I mean, after all, now listen to this because you know it's true. There are a lot of my friends who don't care anything about living righteously. There are even some people in my family, couldn't you say, who don't care about living righteous. Most of my neighbors don't seem to care about living righteously. In fact, the whole world pretty much really could care less about living righteously. So why should I care? Why should I care about being righteous? Well, of course, because the Word of God encourages that for us. But just because others don't doesn't mean that we shouldn't, because we are trying to follow after God as God's people. Solomon actually is a great example of someone who shows us what people seek, because he sought them. God made him the most wise man on earth. Of course, some of his later life, we question that, you know, and the way he lived. But in the book of Ecclesiastes, he goes through a list of things that he tried in his righteousness. He said, you know, God has given me all this righteousness, so I want to seek things out. I want to find out what really satisfies me. What really makes me find that this is it? He says, I've increased in wisdom more than anything else, and I've collected all kinds of wisdom and knowledge, and all these things I find, they're just chasing after the wind. They don't fulfill me. education doesn't. That doesn't mean we don't go get an education. You know, we want to work in this world, and so we want to learn things. We want to have knowledge. But knowledge alone is not the solution. It's not what gives you that fulfillment that satisfies you. And that's what the scriptures here would be saying, and Solomon would be saying. Solomon tried pleasure. He says in chapter 2, I'm going to seek after pleasure, and I'm going to find out what's good, what's fulfilling, what is the most satisfying. I'm going to pursue pleasure and see if maybe that's where it's at. I tried laughter, and he says it's just madness. What pleasure does it accomplish? Of course, the answer is none. I mean, you know, we can find times to have a good time, but does that really fulfill you? If your life was consumed by, I'm just going to live a happy life, I'm just going to live a partying life. It says there in chapter 2, that first paragraph, I want to cheer myself up with wine. In fact, he tried wine, women, and song, and none of them fulfilled him. None of them gave him that final satisfaction. And so people today, and we all today might think some of those, let's go out and have a good time all the time. And having a good time is what life is all about. And we find out at the end, as he did, it's all meaningless. Doesn't mean a thing. It actually doesn't fill me up. And so something else. So he decided to start great projects. I'm going to just build things, you know. I'm going to throw myself into my work. Haven't you heard anybody say that in today's life? Just throw yourself in your work. If you want to find something, if you want to find happiness, just achieve things. As if achievement is going to satisfy whatever that hole is in your heart that you need. And Solomon tries it. He said, I planted vineyards, I made reservoirs. I had all kinds of slaves, male and female. I had herds and flocks and, you know, everything else. I amassed silver and gold, so riches and all of those kinds of things. I acquired male and female singers and even a harem, wine, song, and women. The delights of a man's heart. I became greater far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. And in all of this, my wisdom stayed with me. But I realized it's just meaningless. It didn't fill me up. I mean, even the Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon. Remember that story? She wanted to see his treasures. And so he opened all the bank vaults so that she could see all of his treasures. And she said, man, you're richer than anybody I've ever seen in all the world. Talk about rich, you know. And we look at sometimes people in the world and we think that are very wealthy and we think, oh, but that would just be it if I had all of that. Life would be perfect. But it ends up not being perfect no matter what. Jim Carrey, you remember Jim Carrey? Used to like some of the shows, the movies he made. And the Ottawa newspaper did an interview of him. And one of them caught a comment that has been then passed around. And I found it. He said, Jim Carrey said, I think everyone should get rich and famous so they can see that's not the answer. So you find that people who we look to and we think, oh, if I could only be famous, if I can only just be filthy rich, then that's going to be it. And we find the people who've been there and they say, that's not it. Solomon was there and he said, that's not it. Has nothing to do with those kinds of things. Rick Warren said, most people don't have a connection with God. They're just existing, working until the weekend. So we have many people, we might even sometimes fall into that category, who work through the week. We're just working for the weekend, and we're really consumed with that, and that's our life, and that's what's going to really fulfill us. But also, it's just the end. I mean, it's just, there's nothing there. It's existing. It's not hungering and thirsting after righteousness and being fulfilled by that. See, that's what Jesus is promising. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, guess what? That's where it's going to be at. You will be fulfilled. So no matter what else we're doing in life, no matter what other goals we have, things we want to achieve, safety that we want in with a bank account and with a good job and with good health, all of those things are important. But above all of those things is for us to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because Jesus promises you will be fulfilled. Proverbs 12 and verse 28 says the way, I love this text too, I love the Proverbs, Solomon again, in the way of righteousness there is life. Here's where really living is. Along that path is immortality. Now, church, let's listen to this again and let's hear this. And let's put this in our hearts. In the way of righteousness, in living righteously before God, there's life. Now, but also eternally. You want to really live? Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because in living out righteousness, there's life. You really want to be happy? You really want to feel fulfilled? You want to be satisfied? Now listen to me. All those other things we have in life are good and important, surely. Do not overlook this one. Hunger and thirst for righteousness, because in it is life. That's the good life. When I was a teenager, City of Arlington developed that slogan, it's the good life. And they put it on all their water towers and everything, you know, the good life, Arlington, Texas, you know. And I always liked that because I went to high school there and I love the place. You know, nostalgia and all that. But Jesus says, no, it's not just Arlington, Texas. It's righteousness. It's living the life of righteousness. That's going to give you life. And beyond that, it also leads along the path to immortality, eternal life. So it gives us life now and life then. What else could be better than that? Nothing, right? Nothing. Solomon would say that. Nothing. Jim Carrey told us that with Famous and Rich. There's nothing there. Everybody ought to get that way so they can learn that lesson. And he learned the lesson the hard way, of course, because of that. And, of course, the reason with all of this is you're going to be fulfilled. Notice that. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Some translations say satisfied. And who doesn't want to be filled? Who doesn't want to be satisfied? You know, I want to be satisfied. And, of course, God tells us the most important satisfaction you can find is through hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Well, what do? I ran across, these aren't mine, but some step-by-steps. So here's some step-by-steps. The first one is eat up. Eat up, grow up, show up, and step up. Not shut up, that's not in there anywhere. Eat up. And the point there is, have a daily diet of God's Word. Read your Bible. If you want to hunger and thirst for righteousness, that's where you're going to find the instructions on how to live it. Read your Bible. Pray to God. Communication, both directions. The Bible is God communicating to you, and prayer is you communicating back to God. So eat it up, Christian. Eat up your Christianity. Eat up what God has given you in the Word of God. And I've said this before, and I think you believe it too. You've experienced it. Boy, the more you get into the Bible, the more it touches your heart. I mean, you just, it's not just some written by man kind of thing. This is God talking to us. And how to be righteous is to, of course, to just eat that up. Spend some time. No, you don't have to spend all of your time on it. You got to get about your business in life. But make some time for that. Eat it up, and then, of course, pray. Grow up. That is, grow up in Christ. Don't remain a baby. You know, in two places in the Scriptures that I know of, surely there are others, the writers to the people in the early church, Hebrews chapter 5, was writing on some great theological principles, how important, how they related to us. And he said, it is hard for me to make it clear to you because you're still down here. When it comes to being able to understand things that are taught. So you need to grow up. So it's not just reading the Scripture, but it's growing up in Christ. That's Hebrews 5. 1 Corinthians 3, Paul says the same thing. He says, I couldn't address you as spiritual because you're still worldly, merely infants. And that's sad to hear in the early church. And so, not only do we need to eat up, that's going to help us to feed that hunger and that thirst that we have for righteousness, but also grow up in that. Be more mature. Let those things affect you so that you want to change. And then show up when God's word is addressed to you like it is today. When we gather together around the Lord's Supper as the church. Well, we're just here and we sing to one another and fellowship with one another. It's important that we show up. Now, I say that and I look out at people who do show up. And that is a wonderful thing about this church. I want you to know that. That you folks show up. And that's a good thing. Show up, be present when the Lord's Supper is observed, and when people gather together, and when God's Word is preached, and even when it's taught in Bible classes and things. That's how we grow up, because we're eating up when we show up, and we grow because of that, and we become we grow in righteousness. We're fulfilled. When we hunger and thirst is what Jesus says. But it takes us making that decision. I'm going to eat it up. And you know what? I'm going to grow up in Christ. I'm going to try to be more mature the next day after the next day after the next day. I want to grow. And I'm going to show up and be a part of the body of Christ. God intended that for us to come together. And to show up. And then finally, step up. That is, take your place. There's something for you to do in the kingdom of God. There are things that you can do outside of the church as a member of God's kingdom and serving other people. But also be equipped. Ephesians chapter 4. Paul talks about how the apostles and the prophets and the preachers and elders and teachers are for the equipping of the saints, that we then as saints might do the work of God's kingdom. And so that's stepping up to be equipped, and from that equipped to employ and to use it to step up. And so this one is a good one, and they're all good ones, but this is a good one for us. To hunger and thirst for righteousness is such a wonderful thing. It is so pleasing. That's why Jesus says you will be filled. Some of the other ones are kind of confusing. If you're poor in spirit, then you'll receive, or yours is the kingdom of heaven. Not quite sure what that, we know somewhat what that means, but not quite put a nail down on it. If you mourn, will be comforted. We do understand that, but we don't know exactly how. Well, how are we comforted? What do you mean? Is it now that we're comforted? Is it later in life? The meek inherit the earth. What? Well, you know, we have influence on the earth that's great, and that's what he means there. But also we inherit the earth after we pass on, and God creates the heaven and the earth again, if that's what takes place, remodels the earth. We inherit it. Perhaps that's it, or just simply inherit heaven. But this one, because those who are blessed, of those are blessed who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they will be filled. No doubt about what that means. If you want righteousness, you're gonna show up, and you're gonna get up, and you're gonna step up, and you're gonna do it and grow. And thank God that we have a lot of growing people in our congregation. It's very much a pleasure and a privilege to get to preach here for you folks. So let's keep that all in mind, what Bible has said here for us. I want to offer the invitation, but it's a different kind of invitation. If you do have a need, of course, we do invite you to come and sing, but come in to the front while we sing. But what I really want to invite you to do is, when you stand to sing this song, put your heart into it and your own commitment into what the words of this song. Don't just sing the words, feel those words as you sing them. So let's all stand and let's sing this song. Let's put our hearts in it.